on the upcoming great Shabbat that we have. Shabbat HaGadol. Great Shabbat. Every Shabbat is great. The Shabbat, they call it Shabbat HaGadol. The custom is to say Shabbat HaGadol Shalom. They don't say Shabbat Shalom. They say Shabbat HaGadol Shalom. That's a chidat. The answer back, Shabbat HaGadol Shalom or Meborach. Always the Shabbat before Pesach. There's no special reading. It's one separate Torah. Nonetheless, it's the custom to talk about Anyanei Pesach. Shemoret Chodesh Abib. Ba'asit ha-Pesach la-Hashem Elohecha, ki b'Chodesh Abib, usiyacha Adonai Elohecha me'eretz Mitzrayim laila. The Torah is very particular to make Pesach in the spring, as you can see. Chodesh Abib. We have to make all calculations in the calendar in order that Pesach will always fall out after the season of spring enters. Hence, we're constantly making leap years. If we didn't make a leap year last year, Pesach would have been in the beginning of March. That would have been at the end of winter. No good. Which means Pesach has two issues. Not only does it have to be on the 15th of Nisan, but we have to ensure that the 15th of Nisan falls out during the spring. It's not an automatic, because again, we have a lunar calendar. So without a correction, every year we'll lose 11 days. The lunar year is 354 days, and the solar is 365. So without making that adjustment, every year we lose 11, we keep on moving back and back and back. And all of a sudden, it's like the Abdil, by the Arabs, Ramadan can be in the summer and Ramadan can be in November. They have a pure lunar calendar. So they're always losing 11 days every year. So always Ramadan is going to be 11 days earlier the year before. In 3 years, it'll be a month before. In 6 years, 2 months, and so on and so forth. Our holiday, it says Shamor, it's Chodesh Aviv. Shamor means see to it. That you adjust the calendar as such that Pesach will fall out in this month. Which is interesting. Why would the Torah be so concerned on which season Pesach is? We're commemorating the day. 15th of Nisan. What do I care how cold it is, how hot it is, if it's spring or winter or fall or autumn? Who cares? Our religions are not based on seasons. The religion is based on a date. Just like we have Shabbat in the four seasons. Sukkot comes out whenever it comes out. So that doesn't say, oh, Sukkot, make sure it falls out in the fall. In the autumn. 15 of Tishri. Whatever the 15 of Tishri is, make Sukkot. Pesach. Oh, Shamor Hajabi. It's spring. Again, the reason why we call spring Aviv. Aviv is the Shet Tevot. An acronym. Av Yud Bet. It's the father of the 12 months. Because the Aviv comes out of Nisan always. And Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh. So Av Yud Bet is the beginning of the 12 months of the year. We don't pay attention to that enough. Shamor, it's Chodesh Aviv, Chodesh Aviv. Ki b'Chodesh Aviv, Yatzata. Right? Question is why? What's the understanding for this? What's the logic? That's the Musaf. The Gemara says, K Chirum zunut lebne adam. The Gemara says there are certain things that are rum, chirum, they're very high. However, zunut. Zunut means they're zol. As expensive as they are, that's how cheap the people treat it. Unfortunately, there are certain things that are discounted. They shouldn't be discounted. They're very expensive items. But the people undervalue them. So the Gemara says, what is this item that's chirum and it's zulut at the same time? So the Gemara says that this is talking about devarim she'omdim berumo shel olam, things that stand berumo shel olam in the highest plateaus of the world, ubnei adam mizalzelim bahem, but the people of mizalzel, umayi tefillah. Tefillah is that item. Prayer. Prayer is one of the amudim that the world stands on. Al-Abodah. It's a pillar. It's a pillar of the world. Support pillar. You can be mezazel with the support pillars. You can be mezazel with the moldings. You can be mezazel with the wallpaper. But you cannot be mezazel with a support beam. Mila said, but what are you going to do? The reality is, B'nai Adam is al-Zalim. Tefillah. They pray, Mitzvah Tadashim Minumada. They pray, fast, without Kabbalah. Question is, why? Why should Tefillah get such a bad rap? Why does Tefillah not have the value that it should? The Baal Shem Tov says, you know why? Because people are, they're dismayed from tefillah. And they're upset from tefillah. Why are they upset from tefillah? Because they don't get in. Very good. Get in. You thought they could have like a slot machine.
Like
fast. They think it's like a soda machine. You put 50 cents in, you push the button, and the spark comes out. That's a slot machine. You put the quarters in the machine, you pull the lever, and you're waiting for the jackpot. And it doesn't work that fast. You pray. Question him, it doesn't work. And you pray for Panasa, and the guy's struggling. You pray for health, and nothing. So, eventually, when you see that it's not a soda machine, it's not a vending machine, that always works. So you also, if you go to a soda machine, every time you put your money in, a soda doesn't come out, eventually you say, forget it, I'll drink water, I'm not going to go to the soda machine anymore. Mm-hmm. How many quarters do you want to lose? So people become a little dismayed, they become upset from the tefillah. They were taught, ki atah shumaya tefillah kol peh. Kalom adonai lechol korei av lechol asher kalom be'emet. God listens to prayers, God answers prayers. So you got excited, so you went to the Bet Knesset, you got a new Sidur, you went, first Minyan, you prayed. You got an opposite result. They come along and say, it's just another one of these things. Rabbi needs to get paid, so he has to get people to come to shul, so he has a Minyan. It's a business, everything's a business. So the Baal Shem Tov says a big Hiddush. The Baal Shem Tov says that's a misconception. It's a gross misconception, and you have to change it so you don't have that bad feelings against the tefillah. You have to revive your attitude towards the tefillah. He says, all tefillot I answered. Klal gadol. All tefillot. Even if it's only pay, even if it's only lip service. The Gemara is very strong. It's closer to those that call him Be'emet, with fervor, but if you know the answer. But not always immediately. There's a lot of tefillot pending. There was a Makkah of Barad. What happened in Makkah of Barad when in Egypt? Hailstones. Hail coming down on the Egyptians, fire and water, unbelievable storm. In the middle of the summer. Shocking. The rocks came down, and all the Egyptians are dead on the floor, they get burnt to death as well after. It's a double, it's Sikilat Terefa. Double hit. And the Sultan says, okay, enough. So Moshe Rabbeinu prays, and all of a sudden the Barad stops. The Gemara says, the Barad stopped on the way down. Which is midair. All of a sudden there's a Barad coming down. God stopped it. So there's, if you go all the way up on the spaceship, now you can take a spaceship, I said, you can hire a spaceship for a couple of $1,000, and they take you out of space. So if you go high enough, above the atmosphere, you'll see there's Barad hanging out in the sky. And Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, God's going to push the button, and those Barads are going to continue to fall on the heads of our enemies. Amen. Avnei El Gabish. Like we read in Haftarah. So they don't know what they're in for. You know, they're nuclear and this and that. They don't realize we have drones in the sky. We already have, they talked about the Star Wars program. We already, God invented the Star Wars program in Egypt already. Already we have satellites all over the world. There's Barad hanging over every one of the enemy countries that we have. It's going to be a phenomenal day. Don't miss it. And when Borei Olam is ready to get the enemy, they're going to be looking to push their buttons, and Borei Olam is going to start dropping these hails all over every single country. It's going to destroy them. Where's this coming from? The meteorologists are going to miss it. It's not going to be forecasted by any of the weathermen, as always. Even the farmer's almanac is not going to predict it. One day, boom, the rocks to be falling out of heaven. You'd have the CNN guy standing there in Tikrit or wherever he is in Farah Faza in Iran. What a hell of you. We were in construction house. We never saw such a thing like this. The last time we heard such a thing is in the Bible when the hailstones fell on the Egyptians. Now back to you. They're not going to believe it. They're going to believe such a thing. So what happens is there are certain things in Shamayim that are suspended for a later day. Says the Baal Shem that there's certain tefillot when you pray them, they go up and they hang up. They hang out over there. And at a later time, Borei Olam activates that tefillah to land. Either to a child, to a grandchild, to a great-grandchild, to the person himself later on in life when he needs it. But husband, there's no such thing as a tefillah that's ever wasted. It could be used at a later time. So he says, that's what it means tefillah. Devarim ha'omdim b'rumo shel olam. Sometimes the tefillah is omed b'rumo shel olam. It's standing in the upper world. It's there. It's omed b'rumo shel olam. If you go up, you'll see the Barad. What is that over there? Oh, that's Mr. So-and-so's tefillah that he made 35 years ago. It was a beautiful tefillah. So why is it there? It's on hold. It's in a holding pattern. You know the planes, they go in a holding pattern. So the tefillah is the circling. The Barim omed b'rumo shel olam. And that's why people are mizalzel, because they say, hey, where's that tefillah? They don't want it to come down when Hashem needs it to come down. So don't be mizalzel on any tefillah. Every tefillah is going to have a result. And they prove it. What's the proof? They prove it from Avraham Avinu. You remember the proof by Avraham Avinu, which says, "Va'anshei Sedom na'im v'hatta'im na'ashim me'od." The people of Sedom were very bad. So what happens? God tells Avraham about it, and Avraham starts to pray. And he starts to negotiate. And he starts, exactly. Do I hear 50? 50. And then he goes to 45 and 40 and so forth. Until Borei Olam tells him, there's nothing we can do with these guys. So then the question is, God knew that there's nothing to do with these guys. So why make Avraham go through the motions? God should tell Avraham, hey, don't waste your prayers. Don't waste your prayers. You're a busy man. Everybody's busy. So why make him, okay, 50. Lead him on. Oh, okay, there's not 50. Okay, never. Okay, 45, 45, okay, there's not 45. Tell him again, Avraham, don't waste your time to go all the way down to 10. There's not even 10. Finish it up. He does it. He lets him go through the motions. Understand or no? So if you open up the story in Parashat Vayera, what does the person say? Right before Lot's wife turns into a salt shaker, the person says that he prayed. Right before he prayed, God says, can I not tell Avraham what I'm about to do? I have to tell Avraham Avinu what's going to happen. I don't want him to find out from the newspaper. I have to tell him I'm going to destroy Sedom. Avraham, parentheses. Rabotai, Yishra Avraham is going to become father of a great nation. All the nations are going to descend and receive blessings from Abraham. The word of God, in the middle of telling the story of Sedom, and in the presence of, by the way, Ramotai, you know Abraham Avinu was. He's a great man, father of a great nation. Blessings would have come through him. So the Baal Shem explains, based on what he said in the Gemara there, that's why God made Abraham pray to Sedom. Because he knew he's not going to be answered to Sedom. However, for Abraham, that those tefillot that he prayed for Sedom will benefit the children of Abraham Abinu at a later date. So the tefillot of Abraham were put in the suspension area. They were put in the holding pattern. Not bad to get some deposits of Abraham Abinu's tefillot. Understand? So they have some nuclear tefillot of Avraham Avinu still in Shemayim somewhere. So why not take advantage? Make a deposit. So the Pasuk says, because of those tefillot, you know why I have to tell them about Sedom? Because Avraham, you're going to go assume. As a result of those tefillot of Sedom. Everybody will benefit from it. And that's the same question you can ask Moshe Rabbeinu. The Diyuk. Moshe Rabbeinu prays 515 prayers to go into Eretz Yisrael. After 515, God says, Rav Lach, enough, you're not going in. You couldn't tell me that after one? Moshe Rabbeinu is also busy. Everybody's busy. Emil. So God just tells, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're running the nation. Don't waste your time. I'm not going to answer you. No. So he waits. He puts it 515. And so then the 515 explained, the Borei Olam calculated how many nuclear tefillot are we going to need till Mashiach. We're going to need 515. And every time Hashem Ami says in the big danger, when I goes to the bank, okay, what are the tefillot of Moshe? Send it down. So the Balim Ha'omdim B'Rumo Shel Olam. Understand? The Balim Ha'omdim B'Rumo Shel Olam B'Rumo Shel Olam B'Rumo Shel Olam. The Gemara says, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, if a guy comes to you and says, Yagati velo masati. Al ta'amin. The guy says, I toiled and I toiled and I toiled, and I didn't find. Which means, I toiled in Torah, but nothing happened to me. Didn't work. Don't believe me. If a guy comes along and says, Lo yagati umasati, if a guy says, Lo yagati, I didn't toil, umasati, and Baruch Hashem, I got great in Torah without any work, that's what I mean. Yagati umasati! Amen. He says, I toiled and I found. Then believe it. What does it mean, Masati? When you toil, you don't toil to find something. Masati is like a lost object. See, unless you're one of those guys on the beach that walk around with the Geiger counters, they're looking for bottle caps, they're looking for recycling. And the siyah happens without toiling. You're just walking down the street, you see $100 on the floor. Oh, siyah. Understand? What is yagati umasati? It says yagati ve perbati. I toiled and I earned it. I got it. I accomplished it. You know what we're talking about? There's some people you see, kids, 16, 17, 18 years old, they're off the derech. They're never on the derech. And all of a sudden they get an inspiration, something happened to them. You see them, they make a 180. They start, they come strong, learning this, that, wow. And you're asking yourself, where did it come from? So the guy himself says, he asked the kid, from where to where, and when to when. And the guy says, I don't know, lo yagati umatsati. He says, lo yagati, I didn't know anything. Lo yagati. There was no effort in this. It just, I woke up one morning, I don't know, I had to go to shul or something, I heard the rabbi giving a class, all of a sudden, but it was a little effort. I'll tell him, don't believe him. Don't believe him. What do you don't believe? He's telling you. He's a liar we're talking about now. He has to bring a black cat. You see a black cat lie? You understand what I'm telling you? The guy's not lying. The guy's not lying. He's saying, Gloria Gauti. So, you're a shakra. You believe him, umatati, yes? The second part, you believe him. You see him, he's wearing, he's dressed, he's holding it. They got nothing better to do than to lie to us. No, I got you, Masati. Explanation, he's not lying. Really? He didn't do anything. But you know, he did something his great-grandfather many years before. When he was praying, Ahavat Olam. And he was praying, V'tim b'nish b'en u'min al-havim, l'ashki, l'shmo al-mod. He was praying for his generations. And he went to Israel to the grave of the Shlach Kadosh, and he made a special tefillah, and Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, for his children, lo yamushu m'picha, l'piz daraka, l'piz daraka. He's praying for the future dorot. So in truth, he's not lying. He says, lo yagati, I didn't do anything. You're right, that might be true. But don't believe that there was no yigiyah by someone. Understand? Somebody made a yigiyah here. It's truth. He made a yigiyah and you found it. To you it was a messiah. To you all of a sudden you just came to you like that. Easy, like a messiah. But there was always a yigiyah somewhere. So when you're praying to your children and grandchildren, who knows? Who knows, one day that all of a sudden they're tested and they overcome the test. From where does it come from? Because you're praying for them. But we pray for our children every single day. I was praying for my grandchildren before they were even born. That my children and my grandchildren and the children of all Beit Yisrael should be learned. What do you mean? I was making this when I was 6 years old. I wasn't even married. And I'm praying about my grandchildren already. And then you wonder, when you have grandchildren many years later, the grandfather was 6 years old, the same as Tetzaenu. You understand it? So that's the tefillah to spend them. Where can the tefillah for grandchildren go when you don't have grandchildren, when you have your madam? It goes to the bank. And later on, when the kid's in school and he's doing good in the Gemara, he says, it's going very easy for me. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. Don't believe him when he says, lo yagati. Yeah, maybe you lo yagati, but there was a yigiyah somewhere. Somebody was yagati. Understand? That's a very important cloud of tefillah. So you pray for people. You pray. So this is Rabbi Batliah didn't make it, but a different Rabbi Batliah did make it. A different name. Same name somewhere else. You understand? He said, lady, sometimes they meet a Tehillim, they put it on to him, it was a waste of time, nothing happened, I died. So what do we do? No, I'm not going to go to these Tehillim meetings anymore. What purpose? We read. It's the odds. The same odds when you read the Tehillim and you don't read the Tehillim. Like on the stock market. The darts. It's the same odds. You're using a broker or throwing darts at the stock. The Wall Street Journal every year does the same study. The guys who invested in Chokhmah, they read it, and the guy, and the dog goes with all the stock, he takes the dog, he throws it. Boom, it lands on IBM, he buys IBM. It lands on this one, he just throws dogs. They said, the guys who throw the dogs, and the guys use the stock broker. Basically, it's the same thing every year. The dogs, you have to pay commission. It's cheaper. You don't got to bother the guy. Do it yourself. So I say, it's a tefillah. It's the same odd. It works, doesn't work. So what do you got to pray for? Do the math. Chas v'shalom. First of all, it's not so. Tefillah does work a lot of times, more than not. And even the ones that don't work, they're suspended in the air. They're imam gimbal, Moshe Olam. So don't be mezalzel. And those tefillot could help the person maybe a later day. God forbid a person's an accident or something gets saved miraculously. He didn't pray for anything. They took one out of the bank. Cashed him out of his tefillah. That's a very important yesod in the tefillah. That you do something today and the results are... That's the problem. It's the sword machine. It's done. Not so. Forget about sword machine. Today, if the Wi-Fi doesn't go quick, within 1 second of the site, already the Wi-Fi knows what's going on over there. You have to have an instant. That needs to know the weather in Uruguay. You got to know it. You want to know the weather. So if it doesn't get it in 0.4 seconds, and they time it. 0.4 seconds, 0.1 second. So go tell a guy, your tefillah's in the bank. It's in the bank. Great grandson will get. Not interested. Oh. You know where you see this concept of a delayed reaction? You see this delayed reaction. The Gemara says in Ta'anit, God was planting a carob tree. It's old men. He was planting a carob tree. So the guy says to him, how long is that tree going to take to grow? He said, 70 years. He said, why are you? You're such an optimist. You're so sure you're going to live for 70 years? He said, no. He said, but I'm planting it for my grandchildren. They'll eat it. What my grandfather did for me, I'll do for my grandchildren. My grandfather left me a carob tree. So I'll plant it now. I will not benefit from it. My children will not benefit from it. My grandchildren will benefit from it. It's always like that in planting. You plant, you know what I'm saying? You're working. You figure after all the work, you'll see an apple tree the next day. Yeah. You come the next day, nothing there. You can't believe it. After all this work, where's the... Again, like I said, we used to instant stuff. So you can never explain to a kid, you know, where's the tree? How come all this work? As a matter of fact, it might take 6 or 7 months before he sees anything. You understand? All of a sudden, he sees a carob come out. They tell him, this carob, this already was planted 70 years ago. Wow. A delayed reaction. There was a rabbi called Rav Chaya ben Dosa. But that says, Chol HaOlam Nizon Bavur Hanina Beni. Hanina Beni, Daino Bekam Harubim Erev Shabbat Da Erev Shabbat. The whole world benefited from the zechut and the prayers of Rav Chaya ben Dosa. Rav Chaya ben Dosa himself, he ate Harubim boxer. Remember the Tu B'Shvat, he ate the boxer. The St. John's bread. We used to have it in Magen David. Smells your hands for a week and a half. Hard as a rock. You can't breathe. You break your teeth, you break your stomach, you break everything. Harubin. Carrot. It grows sad. You ever see a fruit that grows sad? It doesn't. It's soft. I never said it's a soft caramel. Anyway. Imagine eating that your whole life, kav harubim, erev shabbat, erev shabbat. Kav harubim, erev shabbat. So the Mepharshim say, why kav harubim? Give him kav of spanish jibin, give him kav of jadra, kav of... What do you think? Kav harubim. You're not praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And not anything. Right, is that the biggest thing in the dinner? It's nothing. But what happened to the tefillot? The tefillot were benefiting people all over the world. The tefillot of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was like a carrot. Although he didn't see a direct result for himself, but the result was for others. Just like a carrot tree, when you plant it, you don't benefit for yourself, but others were. Praying. The food that they gave him to eat was a symbol of what he was doing. The tefillot was suspended for others. Guy in Paris is having a beautiful life in Parnassah because of Hanina ben Dosa's. He's shooting tefillot up over here and God's landing them somewhere else. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is waiting for the tefillah to land. It doesn't land. Where's the tefillah? Kilum zulu. It goes somewhere else. Oh ho. So you see, the same thing with Ashvi. The Ashvi, in the Na'ara for 13 years, what did he eat? Kav harubim, la'erev Shabbat, la'erev Shabbat. That's what he ate, it was a carrot tree in the Ma'ayan. The Zohar Kadosh says, on Shabbat, came a date tree. Like what Shabbat, you had dates. Just to change the meal. Shouldn't have the same meal on Shabbat or whatever we call it. What did he have to have harubim for? How to give him any tree? Give him an apple tree. Give him regular food. That becomes the food of all these tzaddikim. Whenever the tzaddik needs sometimes something to eat, harubim. And the explanation is again, the Bishimon ben Yochai is learning and he's praying and he's making all the tikkunim in the Na'ara. For him, he don't even have clothes. For him, the tefillot didn't benefit. He didn't even have clothes to wear. In the ground. When Ripa'at ben Ya'i saw Rashbi, when he came out of the Ma'ara, he saw his body was filled with holes in them. From the conditions. But meanwhile, what was Rashbi doing with all his tikkunin that he was doing in the Ma'ara? The whole world was benefiting from it. The whole world was benefiting from it. Just like the Aruv that the guy who plants it doesn't benefit from the haruv. He plants it to somebody else. Somebody else benefits from the haruv tree. I'm planting to my grandchildren 70 years from now. So there's being the b'chinah ben dosa that they're always eating the carrots because the b'chinah doesn't have anything. All is tibut to be looked if you know. Dailo become haruvin. It's like a haruv tree. He plants the plants and plants and others benefit. Understand? That's what Baal Shem Tov said. The barim she'omdik b'rumoshin olam. That's tefillah. The tefillah is suspended. Sometimes it lands back down on the guy. Sometimes it lands on his children. Sometimes it lands on his grandchildren. But no tefillah is his waste. It's like the barad in Egypt. The barad in Egypt is going to come down again. Not wasted. Every storm, every... And what's the classic example of this? The classic example of this is Egypt. When the Jewish people were in Egypt, what happens? It says, Bayamuk Menech, Yaakov ben Chadash from the same shadow of Yosef. The king dies. It's a new king, however you want to learn it. It says the people cry out to God. They're crying. They're going crazy to people. Tefillah. And what happens? Nothing. On the contrary, they're praying and praying and praying. Got worse. But I was already making the job much worse than it was. No straw, and they have to make new jobs, and I would have thought it. So you can become dismayed from this tefillah. What kind of tefillah? By Yitzhaku, it was a strong tefillah, but they didn't see a result. They know, when the moment comes, those tefillot are going to benefit them. Those people are going to come right back down and the Sutto Tefillot. You shouldn't think that those people went to waste. And that's a great lesson from Pesach. It's a lesson in that no Tefillah goes to waste even though you don't see a direct result. And what's the classic mashal that you can see in this world? Planting. When you plant something, you don't see the result right away. The result doesn't happen till later on. It's not an immediate result. When does the farmer go start preparing the field? He goes in Tishri. He plows, he does all the preparations, he puts seeds in the ground, he does everything, he waits. Nothing happening. All of a sudden it comes the spring, all of a sudden he starts budding, and the kata ilanot, and the fruits start to come out. Where does this come from? And there's a delayed reaction. And therefore the Torah comes along and says, Shamor et chodesh aviv. You must make Pesach in the spring. But they care what season we make it. Make it on the 15th of Nisan. No, because the spring represents this concept of a delayed reaction. The nature is delayed. Not everything that you do today has a direct result. It's not a soda machine. You put a quarter in, the Sprite comes out. You plant today, and later on, just like the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they prayed and prayed and prayed. The tefillah is suspended until a later date. So Chodesh Aviv is integral to the lesson. Understand, Chodesh Aviv is not just because they want the weather to change. On the contrary, the Chodesh Aviv is to teach the guy that in tefillah or in yahadut, there's not always a direct, immediate result. And therefore, don't become dismayed, don't become saddened by this or depressed. So, I'm doing, I don't see any results. And the farmer, when does he receive results? He sees results the next day? All his work will be paid off. Never such a thing. When a person puts a seed in the ground, there's something that's going to come out. It's going to come out eventually. Even if it comes out 70 years later, somebody's going to benefit from what you did. That's the same thing with tefillah. You made a tefillah today. The Jews made a tefillah when Paro died. That was the beginning of the exile. 200 years later, all of a sudden, the tefillot germinated, and they came out of the ground, all of a sudden they came out. Ayom atem yotim b'chodesh aviv. What Elam reminds them, look what you have, you're going to chodesh aviv. Let the nature remind you of this concept, of how vital the inan of tefillah, suspended tefillot are. There's another interpretation. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically said chodesh aviv? when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, they reached the lowest level possible of a human being to ever reach spiritually. Everybody says the 49th level. It's not the 49th. It's 49.9999999999. He says they were just the one decimal point away from spiritual destruction. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken it. Said, "Adayin anachnu." This would have been there. We would have been stuck. There's a certain concept called the point of no return. That would have been the point of no return. Nobody can recover from 50. You can recover from 49.9, and that's hard. But you need a beholzik yad. If the guy's drowning all the way at the bottom of the sea, that machinery can pull him up. It takes a big nest to come out of 49.9. It's so easy. But if we were there for another second, forget about it. We would have been lost. You understand what's going on? The Torah comes along and says, okay, so now make Pesach, make a holiday to commemorate that. And the Torah says, oh, Hametz. You cannot eat Hametz. Ve'lo yachel Hametz. How much Hametz can I not eat? Hamashihu. Hametz asur b'mashihu. We never saw Yisur like that. We never saw Yisur like that. B'mashihu with a crumb. Where the extreme Yisur of Hametz, even Hametz asur b'mashihu. You know what the explanation is? There's a lesson over here. How much negative did Am Yisrael have? They had 49.9. There was only a decimal point that yet was still not influenced by that tumah. All they had was a mashiku left. That's all they had. If you would go to Las Vegas and take a bet, the guy's on 49.9, all he has is a mashiku left. Don't. No, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The doctor comes along and says, he's dead. 99.999999, all his body shut down. The only thing that's alive in his body is one blood cell that's still alive. We're looking in the x-ray machine, we just see one blood cell floating around. His brain stopped, his heart stopped, his feet stopped, his legs stopped, his arms. There's one cell still swimming over there. He says, there's nothing like it. You cannot recover when there's one mashu, when there's one blood cell still flying around. All we had left in our spiritual makeup was one mashu that was still unaffected by the tum'ah. Otherwise, it was total disintegration. And what happened? You know what we learned from Mitzrayim? That even if a person almost reaches the point of no return, even if the guy has nothing, if all he has is one mashu who left, from that he can be resuscitated. From that he's able to be recovered. From that he's able to, and therefore the Torah comes along and says, the Hametz is connected to Yetzer Hara. That's what we burn it. Hametz is like the Yetzer Hara, they say. Everybody talks about it. I said it also. Hametz is Yetzer Hara. He's also. Hametz is Yetzer Hara. When you burn the Hametz, you burn the Yetzer Hara. Understand? So they say, that's why you have to give it even a mushroom. Even a little of the Yetzer Hara. How if a person has one cancerous cell or a little in his body, one is too much. The doctor doesn't say, no, it's only one. It's only one cell. Don't have to worry about it. One cell is one cell. One cell becomes two cells. Two cells becomes five cells. You understand? And therefore, the Torah comes and says, hey, Hametz, Yetzer Hara asur b'mashihu. But you know what the lesson is? If Hametz is dangerous b'mashihu, that means Yetzer Hara tov b'mashihu also is something. Anybody knows it's the negative side. No, I'm imagining. Okay. And that's the bad side. The good side is 500 times greater than the bad side. The Gemara says in my quote, yes? So if Hametz is asur b'mashihu, because it's so toxic, the mashu of Hametz, so then a mashu of good is 500 times greater. That's what you have to learn from the Hametz asur b'mashihu. That If Ra is Asur b'mashihu, because it's so bad, then Tov b'mashihu is very great. And what's the proof of that? The proof of that is it's Ra'i. We only had a mashihu left that was untainted. From that mashihu already, we were able to receive the Torah 50 days later. This is encouraging for everybody, for all of us. I said, I'm a Rasha, no good, nothing, zero. Understand? He gives up hope. He said, what am I going to go to shul for? Hashem knows all my sins. Yesterday tells him, Hashem knows your sins, and he hates you because of your sins. And if you're not going to be accepted and your service is worth it. And then you come to Mitzrayim, and you say, what do you mean? Are we worse than Mitzrayim? Are we at 49.999? We're not worse than Mitzrayim. So if they were able to resuscitate themselves on a mashu of good that was still left inside of them, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. At one point, the Parashat Ki Tisai tells him, "The Eninat Derachecha, Eninat Kemodecha." I want to understand the ways of God. And different interpretations. What exactly Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand? He wanted to understand the operation system, how God operates certain things. And then all of a sudden, Borei Olam says, "Okay, go over there, stand by the rock. You cut the tzuf." And over there, Moshe Rabbeinu goes by the rock, and God passes over him by the rock. And the Pharisee was trying to understand, stand by the rock, and he cut the tzuf. What is this business that he told them? Stand by the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. Moshe Rabbeinu just saw the Jewish people worship the Egel Azav. He saw that they were able to fall to such high low level. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. That's after we just came out of Mitzrayim, by the way. That's we just came out of Mitzrayim. What's going to be in the Galut for the... It's going to be in the Galut for 2,000 years. How are the Jewish people going to... How are they going to survive? Spiritually, how are they going to survive? There's an order of HaMakadosh that says before Mashiach comes, it's going to be level 50 already. That's why you need Mashiach to take it. It's going to be 50 already. You understand? I think they were wrong. I think it's already 51 or 52 already. They didn't even imagine how bad it's going to be. So Moshe Rabbeinu saying, well, what's going to be? We did the egg, and it's 15 days coming out of Egypt. We have a shot. So the Ba'alei Musar explained, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, listen, every Jew has a neshama. Neshama is like a fire. Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. And that fire of a Jewish neshama can never be totally extinguished. Although it can be filled with soot and ashes and things like that, but like in the old ovens, you used to have the pilot light. Remember the old ovens? Even though you shut all the flames, but you go deep into the oven, you see there's a little flame that's always on, and from that lights the whole oven. And that's exactly what the Jewish neshama is. Oh, the problem is, that flame, I don't care how deep it is and how recessed it is, water puts out the flame. Rabbi Lari says, the water represents the ta'aba, that's where water, the ta'aba is in water, that's the element that brings. If a person gets so caught up in his lust and his desires and his yeses, maybe he can put it out. I don't know. If it's a fire, fire is extinguishable. Don't tell me fire is not extinguishable. Fire is extinguishable. No. This fire is inextinguishable. Okay, except Kabbalah and Kabbalah. But the Baal Tanya explains that that's a regular fire. But then you have a rock. He says, that rock that God brought to Moshe was not a regular rock. He says it was a flint. You know what a flint is? You ever see the flint stones? You know what a flint is? A flint is a rock that you rub it together and the spark comes. Says the Baal HaTanya, there's a big difference between a light, a ner, and a rock. A ner, if you put water on it, it extinguishes it. But if you put a rock in water, the potential of sparking still is there. You understand? And therefore, Borei Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, the neshama of Am Yisrael is like a rock. Mayim rabin lo yochilu lechavot et ahava. Even the biggest waters of Yetzer Hara, you can drown the rock at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. But you retrieve it, and you rub it, it's going to make a flame. So therefore, Moshkab was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that even if it goes out, but there's still a potential, that's kinetic energy. There's a kinetic energy that's inside the rock that always remains. That's a very, very big, it's a comforting idea. Understand? That no matter what happens, the Jew always is able to resuscitate himself even from nothing. Oh, and where do you learn that from, Rabotai? You learn that from the seeds that are planted in the ground. What happens to a seed before you put it planted in the ground? Exactly. It decomposes first. You think that you're going to see, when you planted it for 3 days, you think you're going to dig in the ground, you're going to see already, the roots of an apple tree. Also, you look in the ground, you see decomposition. So what happened to my seed? Putrid. You say, wow, what's going to be over? What's going to happen to my tree? Understand what happens? The tree represents that even after decomposition, even after disintegration, and even after everything becomes lost, you're still able to, something can still come out. Something can still grow. And that's the lesson of Egypt. In Egypt, we just had a mashu left in our systems, and from that mashu, from that, it was like stones. Masviyah Yeshua, Bidiyuk, that's Yeshua that comes out. It's Tichayat HaMetim. It's Tichayat HaMetim. Oh, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Shamor et Chodesh Aviv. That's why Pesach has to be in the spring. Because in the spring, that's when you learn the lesson of decomposition. That's when you learn the lesson of that it has to be, even if it reaches the level of close to Mashihu left, doesn't matter, you still have an apple tree will come out of it. In the spring, you never would have bet it. Vegas wouldn't bet it. If they never saw an apple seed before, they wouldn't bet. They said there's nothing going to come out of this tree. You go to the botanist, he tells you, this seed over there, nothing left. Don't mind, you're going to see. It just has one mashu left of something, the tree will come and be the most beautiful tree. And sure enough, the Aviv comes. And just like the nature of Shamayim is something to Er Mebisari Azeh, we learn from the nature, the way God sets the world up. The nature is a model. The nature is a teacher. So if a tree, who's not the purpose of the creation, is able to resurrect himself from nothing, and even if he just has a little left, he can become great. So to the Jewish people, and even though they have a lot of Averot, and even though they have a lot of sins, and even though the Neshama got extinguished, and only have a potential of kinetic energy, a spark, that Mashu, and that's why the Pasuk says, Shamor et Chodesh Aviv, learn the lesson of Chodesh Aviv. Ki bechozik yad otzianu adonai mitzrayim, bechozik yad means you're on the lowest level, God had to pull us from the bottom of the water. Ve'lo ya'achil hametz. And don't eat a mashu of hametz. Because by not eating a mashu of hametz, that teaches you that just like a mashu of hametz is toxic, a mashu of good is 500 times greater. And every single person, no matter what he did, what he has, and where he comes from, that spark, God says, every Jew is a rock. They're rocks. Because that's soothed. That's probably why we invited Rasha to the Seder. I wouldn't invite him to the Seder. Who wants the Rasha to come to the Seder? But the Agadah invited him. So that's right, get lost. All of a sudden you come to the city, you ruin the whole city, and he moves it. He comes in, he asks his questions, he's cynical, he has all these things. Before we talk about the four children, what do we say? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shiro Dabro Alamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. What's the introduction? What do you need the introductions for? Explanation is because now we're going to talk about the children. And whenever we talk about children, automatically we think about our own children. It's automatic. It's natural. Can I get out of our barim? Everybody thinks about their own barim. And you start to think, where do my kids fall? Are they the Hakam? Are they the Rasha? Is it Tam? Is it Yodaya? Some kids are all four at the same time. You start to think about your own kids. One of the main things you have to remember about your children, no matter what they are, there is a spot in all the children, even in the wise guy, even in the Rasha, there's a spot over there that's still pure. Even if you take the Rasha and you rub him against another rock, there's a spark that'll come out. No matter, even though he poured water all over his neshama and it's dust, and it's, there's a makom. There's a place. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a spot inside of them. So we come along, and before we talk about the children, we recognize the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. That makom, that spot that's untainted, that spot that doesn't allow itself, that mashu. It's a little makom, it's a little... Of course, the Torah is able to activate that spot and to motivate it. And you have to know, you never give up on any of your children. You say, his child's gone, he's finished, he's gone. Now he's going to be with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in us in the Messiah. All the officers were saying, it's not worth, nothing's going to come out of a guy with one cell left in his body. And sure enough, look at Ami said today. The mash, we were resurrected from the dead. Shamor et Chodesh Aviv. That's the lesson of Chodesh Aviv. Just like the seed comes from the mash, from a nothing. Ami says can come from the same way in Egypt, and that's the way it's throughout the generations. And if we met Azek, until the spring, maybe we messed up a little, we fooled around, we got into no problem. This is the new month, it's Hashut, start again, you can always come back. HaGadol Baruch Hu never writes anybody off. No such thing where HaGadol Baruch Hu says, you have reached the point of no return. No such thing. And even when he tells the guy, you reached the point of no return, he's testing him. It doesn't mean that. Chutzpah said. So those are two reasons why we make Pesach in the spring. Number one, to show you that tefillot are delayed sometimes, Omdim b'Rumo Shel Olam. And number two, that sometimes even before the construction has to come a destruction, there's a decomposition sometimes of the Jewish soul because of whatever it is, Averot. But don't worry about it. Pesach is the place that reminds us Baruch HaMakom. There's a place that's the blessed Makom. Baruch HaMakom, there's a place of Baruch HaMakom that's inside of everybody. And from there, from there, from that spot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to, and it happened. And if it happened once in Egypt, and it happens every year in the spring, that's what makes it such a big deal, because that's part of the process, before Pesach, the Nisan. So therefore you're right. No holiday are we careful on the season. But Pesach, there's a lot of musar in the fact that it's calculated in such a time. We have the great Rabbi Pinchasi with us today, Friedman. He doesn't need an introduction. He's already a household figure in our synagogue, Baruch Hashem. And all of us study his Torah religiously. And it's our honor always to hear the great Rav forgive me for talking in front of him, but that they pay me to do this. But now we hear the great Rav.
The truth is that I come, that's part of the visit is the Chavaya, that I come to listen to Rav Mensch and not to talk. That's the real truth. Part of my job, you need to get to the mayor. That's part of my enjoyment to hear the Pematik Magali, the way he takes things that like I heard it the first time, even though I saw it. Very good for Boston, right? But he gives it. To connect, what we're going to say, something that the Rav spoke about, you don't know what thing Chametz, Chametz is the Mashu, and everybody's talking about why it's so Chomer, the Tosfot says it's Karet, and Leibdile Ushamane, people are already used to it all year long. If they're going to keep it in the house, they might be use it, they might eat it. So, what's the difference? What's Chametz? There's a Zohar Kadosh says on Chametz, the difference between Chametz and Matzah is one letter. Mem Tzadik, they're both the same. Matzah is Mem Tzadik, Chametz is Mem Tzadik. The only difference between Chametz and Matzah is the Hey and the Chet. Matzah, we have a Hey, and Chametz, instead of the Hey, we have a Chet. So the Zohar says on this, Ga'ar Chayat Kaneh, I hope I repeat the passage the way it is. Break the Kaneh, is the leg of the Chet. The Ot Chet. Ot Chet, what's the difference in picture, visually, between a Chet and a He? Chet, the left leg, is locked, is closed. And in the He, there's a little window. So we know the Gemara says in Menachot Bav Kaftet Amud Bet, the Gemara says, "Ma'i dekit ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, olam haba nivra b'yud, the olam haba was created with the ot yud, olam hazeh nivra ba'ot hei, was created with ot hei." So the Gemara says, why, if this world is created, what's the hei symbolizes the olam hazeh? So the Gemara says like this, the hei is patut suchal lamata. It's open on the bottom. That's the shol tachtit. It's very easy to fall down in the shol tachtit. That's the hay that's in the bottom. The question is almost how, if it's open, how do we hold ourselves? That means we have to hold on in the walls that we shouldn't fall down because it's so easy. There's so much nisyonot. The whole world is full of tests. So the Gemara says, what's the little opening in the hay on the left side? Gemara says, if you fall down, you can still have a derech of tshuva. You come up, and you go in through the window, and you hold on to the windowsill. So the Gemara says, why do I need to go through the windowsill? I went down, I'm going to get up. There's no lois taya milsa. You can't do tshuva you need to find different chizukim, different limudim. So what do we learn from that? We learn from that, very important message, that the little window of the hay, that's where we can, because everybody, ain't sadi ba'al tashir al-chatzor v'lo yechta. But we can do tshuva by walking into that little window. What does the Yetzer Hara do? Mentioned. Throws them into despair. Yush. You're a balavera. Special that you're used already. Over Adam Avera Veshonava. He repeated Avera so many times. How can I get out of it? So what he does is he tries to close that little window. You shouldn't see that you still have a derech of tshuva. If you close the window of the hay, what does it become? A chet. That's the whole difference between somebody that still has hope. He says, the shofar is open. Wherever I go, I have this yoinus. but there's a little window. Let me get in that window. By coming to the shiurim, and I'm not exaggerating. Torah, you need, before you go out to work, you come, you hear a shiur, you learn Torah. It gives you a chizuk. You should be able to hold on. But this is the essence of the mukham of the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah Tov. The Yetzirah Tov says, don't fall into Yerush. There's still a window open. The Yetzirah says, you're doomed. You have no chance. You see, he's tried so many times. This mukham doesn't need you. He closes that window. So what does that to this baruch say? Kol dodi dofek pitchuli. Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Kol dodi, my, how do you, my beloved one, dofek, he knocks on the door. Your pitchuli, open the door. I want to come in. What does the Medrash say? Pitchuli petas kechudo shel machat. What kechudo shel machat? That little window. There's a little window, it's not closed, you just don't see it. The Yetzer Hara closes your eyes. How does it by Sodom? It says, the Falanshi Abayis, Hiku Batan Verin, the Loyukulim Tzor Petach. They weren't able to find that little door that's still open. That's dumb. So I say, what's Tshuva? Tshuva is Tashuv Hey. You can come back. How do you see that we can come back? With that little hay. And Rivka Imeinu told Yitzchak in Lekeach Bani, Yaakov, Mibnot Chet, Lamalichayim. If he's going to connect to those who are of Chet, not of Hay, Lamalichayim, then they're more finished. So this is actually the Muhammad of we're talking about the Zohar, but connecting the all kind of agdamas, that in Mitzrayim, Rabbi Menter spoke about, but the Menter Shari Tuma, one of the things that Mikupat Mitzrayim is the Yi'ush. They were finished. When Moshe Rabbeinu came and spoke to them, what did he say? They were so deep in the mental charitama, they said, we have no hope. We have no way of going out of this nun charitama. That's the chametz and the matzah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, lo yachel chametz afilu b'mashu, because that little window, that's what counts for everything. And matzah, we need to break open the ga'al chayet kana, break open the chet, that little window, open it up, see that there's a derech, there's a way, don't fall into Yehush. And the Chatam Chasofer says, when Moedi Kazach, he says, chametz b'mashi, he brings forum, say that the difference between chametz and mashi is only a little, the little hole over there. Says the Heli Chasam Sefer, he says, but the difference between chet and hay is three. Hay is equals five, and the first is five. What is the three? Hakina, Hatava, Vahakavot. There's three things that this is from when we get born, little children, until the last breath that we given this world. Is the Nisoyan of Hakina, to envy, Ta'ava, loss, and Kavod. Did give me kavod, give me an aliyah, didn't give me, that's what keeps us going. The Seder Zayin is b'mashu, it's small, but the difference between chametz and matzah is three. Those three is that kills us. And on those three, we need to be hitgaber. Therefore, we have three matzot, the difference, kinata vavakot. So, that is the message that we need to have, Pesach b'chol dor v'dor. Chayav Adam lerot et atzmo ke'ilu yetzam in Mitzrayim, to his own Mitzrayim, his own. I'm going to finish with this. The Tzvila Sadik, that is the big Balaremes. He says, the Riyak Kodesh says, what's Pesach? Pesach. You should say that. You should talk. You should talk. And you know, well, Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So he says, but Pesach is missing hay. It's Pesach. Where's the hay? So he's with a big balarama. He says, Pesach is the Rashi Tevot. Ptichat, Stimat,
head. He opens the head that's closed. If you open the stimat head, you get the hay. So stay down.
So, Chevre, you have the foot not only once a year when I come over here. You have the foot all year long. And let me tell you, I know what it is. I gave it to the Yetzer Hara. It's raining, it's cold. I'm going to come tomorrow. It's a Yetzer Hara. Don't miss even one shiur. Don't miss. Because Tichat Shkimat Chet, he opens the Chet. He should see that there's still a Derech to come back. So we should have a question and follow from 24.